Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Monday. Everybody have a good weekend? Good. I did as well. The update, well, everyone in my house remains sick. It's something like the Great Plague of Venice. You know, they're all dropping like flies. I am staying strong, however. And my trick, I don't know, my trick is just my vitamins. I'm trying to get as much sleep as I can and maintained a healthy, a healthy high-level BAC the whole weekend through, which I'm convinced wards everything off. So there it is. That was my trick, and everyone right now is so sick, and this flu that is going around, it's a killer, so stay clear of it. Wow, Fortune Magazine, online, fortune.com, a guy, David Z. Morris, I saw this pop up on Twitter, and I thought maybe this is just a provocative Twitter headline. The grabber, you know, they always try to put something sort of catchy. And then you open up the piece and it really is it's a softer petal of whatever the gist was there in the far more salacious headline. Well, sure enough, the headline of the piece was exactly a mirror image of the title of the tweet. Uber, the ride-sharing company, has three CEO candidates left. And they're all men. Read the headline and the tweet. Now, if you bother to read past that, you realize that the board made overtures to at least six different female executives, including Meg Whitman. And all six of them said, no, we're not interested. We got better stuff to do. And so the residual list of which apparently it's all male, and we only know about one, Jeff Immelt, who is the current outgoing CEO of General Electric. So what's left is men. And this is a news story. This is a title of the piece. And you want to know why? You want to know why this? Okay. This irks me. Because this company is hiring not on the basis of who the best CEO is, who the most qualified person is for the job. They are literally they're using as a qualifying deal here a woman, gender. They want a female. And it's clear because the board's out there searching for women, doing a high profile search. They normally, when companies like this look around for a CEO, when they look around for a leader and they're high profile, they try to do it really quietly. And in part, you want to do that because it's a negotiation. It's like hiring for any position. You don't want to let the candidates know who's all in the game. And also, you got to remember some of these candidates have jobs, right? They're working for other companies, so you don't necessarily want to spread this out. But Uber's making a very public play here. We want women. We want women. So much so that the press is reacting. They've got no women. They've got no women. And this crazy charade is playing out across the United States in so many different businesses. And here's the story that I am reminded of. I always think about this. A friend of mine who is an excellent pilot, lots and lots of hours, meaning he flies a lot. He's spent years and years flying jets. He's a very, very competent pilot, and he has trained a number of young pilots. And my friend some time ago told me this maxim about female pilots. He said, and paraphrasing here, bear with me, he said that some of the best pilots he's ever flown with are women. But also some of the worst pilots he ever flew with are women. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that because there's this Google story. You know, this all right now dovetails. The reason this article's being written, the reason that this is a headline in Forbes and it's all over Twitter is because of this guy at Google that wrote this manifesto basically trashing, you know, gender-based equality hiring and, you know, evening the playing field, you know, making sure we have, you know, equal pay. And in his piece, the gist of it is, look, men and women are different. And some of the differences that we have in outcomes, meaning, for example, different wage levels, women maybe not going into as many programming jobs as men, have to do with some inherent, you know, structural differences between men and women. And that's the positivist piece. And I don't even want to go there. I don't think you even have to go there to look at this policy being totally backwards. And I'll explain why. Because if you take what my friend, the pilot, said about the best pilots being women, and then some of the worst pilots being women, what does it tell you? The Google guy, the guy that wrote this manifesto, his argument would be, and I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong, but his argument would be, look, you know, maybe there's some qualities that make men better pilots. But I actually think it's something different. What it tells me is, there are women in that cockpit that have flown with my friend. And he flew for a big company. I need to add that. The bigger the company, the more obsessive they are with diversity hiring. Okay? And diversity hiring is code for hiring less qualified people to fill quotas. Because the myth is, right, the myth is that there's all these super qualified people out there and it's sexism. That's why the women aren't getting the jobs. But the reality is there just aren't as many women going into piloting. If you go to pilot school, and I ask this all the time, I do. I just the other day I was looking at this and I thought, you know, I want to talk about it. So late Friday, I'm asking around. It's true. Right now, if you go to aviation schools, flight schools, it's not sexism that's turning away women. There's not that many women there. So when you go to the job market and you've got a big company, I don't care if it's American Airlines or it's Flight Options, you know, it doesn't matter who it is, if it's charter, if it's a big airline, they've got a lot of seats to fill. And if their measure is, look, we want X amount of women, what do they have to do in order to get X amount of women if there aren't enough qualified women out there? They plug the hole with less qualified women, but really what they're doing is less qualified candidates. So now, if you are the kind of person that thinks that equality hiring and, you know, and ending gender discrimination is cause number one to be pursued in life, then let me ask you something. I want you to tell me, what are you thinking when you're sitting on that airplane and you're flying through some, I don't know, we'll call it Amelia Earhart weather. Okay, you're up there, you're flapping up and down. You can see nothing out of the windows. If you were in the cockpit, you would see red everywhere on the radar. Bad weather everywhere. And the difference between life and death, the factor that determines whether you make it back to the airport, is experience. It's competence. It's not gender. See, in my world, it doesn't matter if I'm sitting in an airplane, a passenger in an airplane, or I'm laying on the operating room table and I got somebody working, you know, opening, cutting me open and fixing a heart valve. I don't care who that person is, but I do care that they're the absolute most qualified out there. And I think that part of it here is getting lost in this conversation. Because these big companies, you know, it's okay. Well, for one, these big companies are filled with a lot of leftists, and that's what what this guy, and we don't even know, it might not be a guy who wrote the Google memo. Might have been a gal. They are, for now, and probably will remain anonymous. But whoever it was that wrote the memo, that's part of what they're saying. Look, this company's so left-wing, and they're obsessing about all this gender-based hiring, that they're almost getting into this social engineering deal because, you know, in order to, and again, if you accept that there are differences between men and women to some extent, you know, one of the things that, you know, he said, and the writer of the memo said, that women are more into social interaction than men. So when you deal with programming jobs are kind of, I imagine programming, right? You're kind of lonely in front of a computer and typing away at a screen, just looking off into, you know, staring at a screen. And it's not very creative. It's just you and the computer. So what the writer actually in the memo said is, hey, maybe if we want to attract more women to programming, what we ought to do is make it more collaborative. Set up maybe team programming, you know, or pair, couple, you know, group programming pods, if you will. But the problem with that is, then he acknowledged, he goes, look, then we're doing arbitrary social engineering just to make it, you know, appealing to men and women. But is it really the best thing for the company? Is that really what's going to give Google the leading edge over their competitors? Is it going to produce the best result? And that takes me back to the pilots. Because while what Google does is not life and death, it really isn't. I don't think so. Unless it's Google Maps and it sends you into a dark alley in Inglewood when you really want to end up, you know, on Rodeo Drive. That's one thing. but really, when we look at jobs like jobs in medicine, when we look at cops and firefighters, who do you want rescuing you when your house is on fire? Your apartment building. You're up on the third floor. You know who I want rescuing me? I want a uniform exam for every firefighter. It doesn't matter if he's male or female. I don't care. I want the strongest firefighter to come and get me out of that window. Because with the way I've been eating this year, I ain't no lightweight. I don't care if it's a woman that saves me out of that window. If she can haul me down a ladder from three flights up, by God, that's who I want saving me. See, this is so basic. It's so common sense. I have, and I've shared this with you before, in my business, I count at least three off the top of my head key managers who are women. Producer Robbie, you're nodding your head. You know who they are. I didn't pick them because they're women. I picked them because they're good. And there is no greater compliment that I could give them than that. I don't play the game of identity politics or, you know, gender, you know, it just doesn't compute. I am a greedy capitalist. And as a greedy capitalist, I'm going to hate to break this to you now because I realize we have a lot of people here who don't understand how this all works. I want to make money. It's not about discrimination for me at all. I don't care. I want to crush my competitors. I want to win. I want to increase revenues year over year. And discrimination is expensive. I have to pay for that stuff. How do I mean that? Because when I discriminate by hiring a male, when the female was better, right? The woman was better for the job, let's say. Then I end up with the worst candidate. How does that help me? It doesn't. And so what you'll hear is just this, you'll hear the criticism of bro culture and these, you know, sexism rampant in these companies. And I don't know. I think what you're going to see are businesses cutting off their, you know, their limbs and reducing, in effect, their competitive advantage in the marketplace to appease this nuts totally out there, you know, leftist ideology that we got to, you know, everything's got to be equalized. 50% men, 50% women. That's just insanity to me. What ought to matter to Google is getting the best people in the right positions. Okay. And that's it. I don't know. I'll tell you right here, I'll go on the record. I do not want to be sitting in an airplane where the person that's in either the left or the right seat is less qualified than their competitor, than the fellow applicant. And they got that seat just because the company need to fill a quota. I'm not willing to lay down my life for that. Are you? Call me if you are. I want to hear from you. Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski back behind the Sam Nation microphone, reminding you that, as always, the show comes to you live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. Phone numbers, if you'd like to be on the program, 800-222-5222. And my email is sam@samnation.com. I do check that all the time during the show. And you've heard me respond to people, so do it. If you if you're too shy to call, you can email me and I will respond. Now, we are talking here about gender and gender-based hiring and all this sex discrimination that's whizzing through the air. My God, you think this entire world was built on purely discriminatory practices, when in fact, I give you the big example of my best example is always me. I know from my own experiences what's true and what's nonsense. And I'm a male, I'm a white male, and apparently, I'm told, rumor has it, I've been accused of it, I have white privilege. I only bring this up because I pick managers. I was explaining, my top managers are all women. And the reason I've picked women, it didn't happen that way. I didn't go out to pick women. I went to pick the best people for the gig. When I looked at each individual position and I was hiring, I did not go, well, geez, I'd rather have a man in this job, but I guess a woman will do. And the reason I didn't think this way was because I care about profit. In my business and in most companies, the idea is you work things out in a way that will make you money. Now, are companies run by racists? Yes. Are companies run by sexists? Yes. Are companies run by stupid people? Yes. See what we got here? Discrimination is expensive because you're using a different measure to pick the right person for the job than money. And by the way, it doesn't always happen in the classical discriminatory hiring practices that you'd think. Think of all the businesses that prefer family members, for example, over, you know, a particular race, if you will, or gender. Those are bad businesses. The guy that I worked for a company like this a long time ago. The guy preferred relatives to, you know, people off the street. And it's nonsense. You know this. You experience that at work. But the gender thing, I think there's legitimacy in this Google article that's now making, you've heard about this, the memo that's circulating, whizzing around the internet. It's 10 pages. It's like Martin Luther's thesis. He didn't nail it to the door, so it's not necessarily a functional equivalent, but it's shaking up the world because he's laying all the Google biases out there and this big movement to equalize everything 50-50, you know, we have a male dominated culture and programming, got to change it. And his point is, well, hey, maybe, you know, it's male dominated because it attracts more males because males are inherently different. And if we go and change the way programming is done at Google to attract more women, we may end up with a worse department. Not because it has women, but because structurally it's been reworked and is no longer as efficient and as productive as it was before. Now, the statistic is that there's something like 91% women in registered nursing. Why? You want me to guess? I'll guess. I'm not a social, you know, expert here by any means, but my guess is because women are very nurturing compared to men, generally speaking. And being a nurse requires that you be nurturing. So now let's say we go in and say, no, now from this day forward, it has to be 50-50. My guess is if you mandated that it be 50% men in registered nursing, we'd end up with worse nurses. Because more qualified women would be replaced by less qualified men. Got to turn it around. Think about it that way. See? Now it doesn't smell the same, huh? All right. Got John Wolf up next with the news, and I'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Bottom of the hour, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC, live from an undisclosed location, deep behind the orange curtain, 1-800-222-5222, and the email, sam@samnation.com. All right. Who do you want flying the plane? You're up there, 32,000 feet. You hit some bad weather, and it is now up to the skill of the pilots flying the aircraft. Do you want a diversity hire, or did you want the best person for the job? And that is really the crux of what we're talking about here. In response to both the Fortune.com piece bemoaning that Uber, looking for its new candidates to fill the CEO gig, has only three candidates left, and they're all men. And this comes on the heels, of course, of the piece in the 10-page outburst from some embedded renegade within Google who wrote this piece about how, look, we got to get over this diversity hiring culture. It's destroying our company. And I am explaining to you that it's, well, what do I think? I think it just comes down to hiring the best qualified person. And that ultimately, if the business is run well with a profit-minded leader, or board of directors, or whoever, okay? If the owners are profit-minded, they're going to pick the best person for the job. They don't care if it's male, woman, transgender, black, white, doesn't matter. I don't care how much white privilege they have. You know, that's the nasty, code word that we throw. White privilege. Like, okay. If that's code for rich white men, right? Look, if they're rich, they want to get richer. And let them hire based on who the best person is for the job. And there's a tacit acknowledgement that it's not about hiring the best person for the job, that it's not about what's best for the company in this whole argument. And nowhere, well, it's captured all of it. I've got a great example of it. So MSNBC, on the heels of this Google bias memo being released, MSNBC's Katie Turr, interviewed Recode's magazine's online editor, Kara Swisher, that's her name. And Katie Turr asks Swisher, why is all this, this discrimination happening? Why is all this, and they're bemoaning the fact that this memo was even written. Why is this happening in Silicon Valley? Why, Kara, explain this to me. And this is Swisher's response.
Because there's a very bright line between this kind of attitude, which is it's called the bro culture, essentially. And I know they don't like being called this, but that's what it is. It's this bro culture that then leads a very bright line into all these sexual harassment things that have been coming up lately. And I think a lot more women have been willing to speak up and discuss it and get into the real meat of what's happening here, which is a culture that really is dominated by men and dominated by white men, and where lack of diversity is really hurting the cultures of these companies.
Oh, the cultures of these companies. Huh. What about profit? Sweet Jesus. It's like, what planet are these people from? Hey, it has to be about profit. As long as we keep, if we want an economy that continues to grow, it can't be about nonsense that doesn't matter. You know, a lot of these people spew this kind of nonsense, this total BS about diversity hires and gender-based hiring, da, 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 da. And then they go home at night and worry about their kids' college funds and worry about their IRAs. And where does that money come from? How does that money grow? Oh, profit. That's right. So why don't we worry about profit? Let's worry about what's good for companies and not what is good for companies' cultures. Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
You know, yeah, down with the music, down with the music. You know, the worst part about live radio is that you get chewed out in real time. I just got a text message. I have to, you know, where's some crow? Get me some crow. I got to eat it. I mentioned that my top managers were all women, and Brett, Ian, I owe you guys a huge apology. Okay? I just got a text from one of my male managers reminding me of his gender. So, it was... I feel horrible. I really do. So there it is. You guys, I can't believe you're downstairs. That's what it is. You're on the first floor. So I blew it. So there it is. Had to make that correction. And Ian, thank you for reminding me about that. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. We're talking about gender-based hiring and how this trend right now is to find the not the best qualified candidate, but to get, you know, to even things out and to make things fair and equal among genders and races and everything. My basic proposition here is, why not just hire the best candidates? And it leads me to an interesting observation that I've had, and kind of a frustration of mine that has to do with in other practices, employment practices. And in one specific example here, it has to do with lawyers. Now, you know I'm a lawyer. It's one of my less charming characteristics. And as part of becoming a lawyer in California, you have to pass a bar exam. Now, the California State Bar Exam, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's been in the news lately. It is by far and away the most challenging exam in the country, in the sense that more applicants fail it than pass. And to give you an idea, percentage-wise, I believe the California bar exam had a passage rate of somewhere in the 60s, in the low 60s, this last go-around. And the next most difficult state, which is New York, had a passage rate in the 80s for first-time bar takers. Now, if you put everybody in there, all the people that keep retaking it, it's even lower than that. It's less than 50%. And I guess a bunch of law school deans got together and wrote to the California Bar and to the California State Supreme Court and said, this is terrible. You know, we students aren't passing. And my take on it was very different. I said, look, as long as the bar is set and defined. And by the way, it's a play on words there. But the standard for passing, if the line between pass and no pass is set and defined for all applicants the same way. Isn't that what matters? And then it took me to another part about the California bar exam. I don't know if you know this, but it used to be 3 days. Now it's two. But it used to be, and it still is, by the way, that if you are an ADHD, an attention deficit disorder test taker, you get a special accommodation in the form of extra time. You get an extra few days to take the bar exam, potentially. And the craziest thing, you get extra time to do the test. You pass the test because, you know, we want to give an advantage, right, to test takers who have a disability. But then these people get out there in the real world of practicing law, and they don't get more time for their closing statement. They don't get more time to file their lawsuit in court. They don't get more time to do anything. They have to compete with people who were able to pass the bar exam in 3 days, not six. Think about this. What if we waived the physical portion of the fireman test? I gave you the example. I mean, just waived it. Yeah, let's have, it's an absurd example, but paraplegic firemen. It's crazy to think that. By the way, in New York City, they did something like this. They did lower the standards for women. And they've tried to do that in different places. And my very point there is, you want the best qualified fireman. You want the most qualified lawyer. It's not about an accommodation. It's not about equality. It's not about fairness. It's about giving the public the best service. And that's what I think. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790-790-790-790. KABC.
Sam Rogowski, so if you're hiring an attorney, if you've been in an accident, you're hurt, and you want to go crush the insurance company, big insurance company, I won't name any names, but they've got billions of dollars behind them. And there you are, you're looking for your, you know, person that's going to slay them, that's going to carve out some justice for you. Who do you hire? Do you go with an affirmative action pick? Do you go with an equality hire? Or do you get the best person, the best lawyer for the job? Now, in this particular case, I'm going to tell you who the best lawyer is. Sweet James Bergner, that's right. And by the way, he did the bar exam in the allotted time. I knew him when he was taking the bar exam. I can vouch for the fact that he did not need extra time on the bar exam. One and done. James Bergner went in there, did the test, passed it, and went on to build a successful firm that serves countless Americans in getting justice for themselves and for their families. What you need to do, if you're in a tough spot, you've been hurt, you got to call the right lawyer. And that lawyer, I am telling you, is Sweet James Bergner. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Yeah, it's a real thing. If you go out and hire a lawyer, there are lawyers in our midst, and I, if you're listening to me and you went to law school with me, I know who you are. And from, you know what I actually think? Because it starts in law school early. You start, you know, they get extra time for final exams. They get extra time for turning in essays and papers. They get extra time because the doctor writes a note, you know, oh yeah, little Susie, yeah, she's got ADHD and... I know who you are, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think this is a blown out of proportion. You know who has ADHD? I'm convinced I have it. I guarantee you. You should see how, you know, how I mean, and what it does, actually, it allows me to do multiple things at once. So for me personally, it's been an asset because I'm able to do this over here and that over here and that over here and kind of keep everything moving. And for, you know, I mean, I'm running a three-ring circus in my life. Believe me. But, you know, I remember I was struggling in law school, my first year of law school, and I went in and I talked to somebody, you know, counselor type thing, and I said, oh, I'm really just, this is tough. And the guy said to me, maybe you need a testing accommodation. And I remember looking at him, and do you know what I told him? I still remember this. I said, I could not look at my classmates if I got an unfair advantage over them. I remember that. And I meant it. I meant it. So yeah, there are a bunch of people out there that didn't do the same work as the rest of the attorneys out there. And I'm not griping about it. I'm just saying they should put a little asterisk, you know, on their bar card. They'll like see below, like restrictions. Can't get stuff done in time. Slow. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's the same thing with steroids in sports. You know, there's a little asterisk there. Yeah, great home run average, but, you know, took some roids. Oh, boy, what a show. I'm going to get some hate for this. I know it. All right, love you all. See you tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Sam Rogowski, over now.
Radio. 90. KABC.